So I'm going to pray for Natalie to... I just thank you for this topic, Lord. I can't think of a word that means more to Americans than freedom, and I can't think of a term that is more misunderstood and completely insanely applied than the way many Americans understand it. So I just pray tonight as Natalie gets into your word, as you help her to bring forth the revelation that she has, the understanding that God, she would help us see what biblical, apostolic true freedom is all about. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 That's right. I do want to say, if you guys have seen or just that movie with William Wilberforce,
Amazing Grace.
So, the man that mentored William Wilberforce, right? He was a former slave ship owner, right, Dave?
Yep.
And he got saved. So just like Aubrey was praying. So you have this, a former guy that owned and operated a slave ship, became a Christian and completely changed his life. And that's a true story. If you guys haven't seen, have you seen Amazing Grace?
No.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. It's how that song was written. Amazing
yes,
Grace,
he right wrote, now. Okay, he wrote Amazing Grace. Yeah. He was the former slave ship owner. And he got saved and then wrote Amazing Grace.
Wow.
So you guys have to see that movie.
What's
it'll give.
It on?
What's it on? Is it on?
I don't know. I don't know. It's older. It's old. Yeah, but it's so encouraging. You know, of what we can do and keep going after things, and we will see a breakthrough. So I'm gonna do double recording. Did you record yet? You're recording right now. Okay, I'm doing double recording. Okay, so my title today is True Freedom versus Immoral Freedom. Okay, so I've been continuing to ask the Lord, you know, just reveal any areas of programming that I have in my life, areas that have just been built into me through culture, through, you know, whatever it is, movies, entertainment, social media, from generations. And, you know, before when I brought up certain ones, I knew there's more, and I know there's more to come, but I'm so thankful to God that he doesn't give it to us all at once, you know, because it's a lot when you realize, interesting. Yeah, it's a little like my it's like my mind is exploding, like kind of like, whoa, this is big. So I woke up the other morning, and I heard the song, so yes, it can be a positive song, but I heard it in the negative way. I didn't know what it meant. And it's the song, I'm Proud to Be an American, Where at Least I Know I'm Free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, or that life to me. I think I just totally wrote it wrong here. Anyway, that gave the right to freedom to me, right? Now, I believe that in all President Trump's rallies, they start with the song. But I believe when they play it for him, it's a prophetic thing that's going to happen. But it hasn't been. So, because I was thinking, wait a minute, we haven't been free. and the men who went to war, as we're figuring out, we realize, okay, I'm getting a little political here, but anyway, that the globalists actually started the wars.
Yes.
So the people that thought that they were going to war for a good thing, whatever it was, I believe the men that went and the women that went were amazing. They thought they were honoring their government. They thought they were helping other countries. And so I just thought, I was like, okay, Lord, what is that? Why am I hearing that song right now? And I felt, he said, it's a program that Americans are taught from the time they're young that they're free.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That they're free. You're free. You're free. You're free. It's like our mantra. It's like, you know, we are brave and we are free and we are independent, right? We are brave and we are free. But where does freedom come from? It doesn't come from the government telling you you're free. The only true freedom comes through Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Really.
Amen.
It doesn't come from singing a song like, I'm so glad I'm American, I'm free. But this is something that we grow up in school and we're saying it and we know it, and it's this thing, right? Haven't you guys always heard it? Like, yeah. You just know, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Yeah. What? Now, we have freedom in some ways, because at first I was like, well, we don't have free at all. Dave's like, well, we do have some freedom. You know, we do have freedom to, at this point, during COVID, we saw that they started to kind of take it away, right? Different freedoms of meeting together, of singing, worship, crazy. But when you view yourself as free, are you going to look for freedom? Right? So when you think you're free, I'm free. I don't need freedom. I don't need Jesus.
Right.
I am free. I'm free to live my life the way I want. I am an American. I am free. Now, I was just this is like the Lord, what the Lord's taught me this week, so it might not be that articulate at this point, but just giving you what he's been teaching me. What are the effects or the fruit of the American freedom? What they say. So I'm telling you, we were told we're free when I wasn't walking with Jesus. I was not free, but I'm told I'm free. I'm told I'm free. Do they have that in the UK? They talk about you're free, you're free, you're free? Or Italy, or... Okay, and you've seen it here, right? It's said all the time. So that's where you're like, something's suspicious, yes?
In Canada, too. True North, strong and free.
Okay, yeah. Definitely not there either. Yes. So I just started thinking, now, are we free to say no to the childhood vaccine? No, you're not free. Are you free to say no, where we say no to COVID? No, not really. Are we free to express our opinion and say there's male and female? No.
Yeah.
You're called a hater. Are we free to talk about Jesus wherever we go? We're free, but it's rejected, right? It's like, no, you don't do that. You don't talk about politics and you don't talk about religion. But you're free. But you're free. So I don't know. Some other things might be coming to your mind. We can talk about that after in the discussion time. But, okay, so the effects and fruits of American freedom, I believe, is a passivity and an apathy. Because you believe you're free, you're not going to go after freedom in Jesus.
Amen.
Right? I believe that we're going to pray this lie off of us. Because if you think you're free, you're not going to go after it. You're not going to search for freedom. I think for many of us, we came to a real low point in our lives, and then we went to Jesus, right? Because we realized, this is not working, you know? I thank God it wasn't working for me at a very young age. I'm so glad that I was so empty. And I was in my teens when I came to Christ. And I know some of you were too, but I was so empty. I wasn't one of those like, I'm just happy. I'm just always happy, you know? I don't have Jesus. I'm just happy. There's some people like that. I wasn't one. I was so empty, and I was searching, like, how do I fill this hole in myself? And I couldn't figure it out. I was trying through different things. Thank God, not that desperate, but, you know, with boys or men or, you know, popularity, and let's see about every single activity I can do in school so that I can be somehow filled with other people telling me I'm great, right? It didn't work. I think it also puts when you're told you're free, you're free, you're free, you get dependent on the government and you realize, I trust them because they say I'm free.
Oh,
that's right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a trust built in there that you're free. I give you freedom. Then you trust. And then when something happens, all of a sudden everybody's trusting the government because they told you're free. You live in the most amazing country. You are free. When meanwhile, we know, I don't know, it probably goes back way further, but it's been a while now that we have not been free, you know? Yeah, there you go, then. So, also, I believe that we're told, you have everything you need. You have everything. America's so amazing. You have everything, you know? You are free. You have everything. Everything is available for you in America. So, again, what does that do to seeking Jesus? People are just fine because they believe they're free. They believe they're independent. They believe that they're fine. They don't need Jesus. I also believe there's like a slow drip programming, you know. And I was just telling Dave the other day, it seems like the enemy, he's very patient,
yeah.
You know.
Yes.
Like he can kind of just slow drip, you know, of programming, of getting us to trust the government. I mean, how long has it taken? And then finally, with COVID, that was shocking. To see how many people just went right along. But it was a slow drip process, right? Just a slow drip process of trust us. We're for you. It's the government of the people. We're free. Crazy, huh? Yes. I also believe that because we're taught we're independent, we're free. You don't need anyone or anything. American dream, anything you want to do, you can. Anything you want to become, you can. I believe it goes against. It's maybe for Americans, I don't know, since I'm American, more difficult to die to ourselves. Maybe more difficult to surrender everything, you know, when we're told all these things about being American, being very free, being independent, being American dream, you know. I was just looking at this, thinking, wow, how has that freedom crippled us, you know, crippled us and kept people from seeking Jesus? And then when they become Christians, from just dying to themselves, you know, it seems like a very difficult thing, very difficult to surrender everything. Like, I actually want to do it my way, you know, I want my way. So I think I forgot, there's like sayings anyway, if anyone can think of them, like, anyway. Your way, you know, you do it your way. I also have scripture for this, so don't be nervous. Also, I was thinking, so what does freedom mean? Well, here's some. I'm free not to go to church. I'm free, right? Have you heard people say, like, I'm free. I can do what I want. I'm free. I don't have to go to church. I can smoke pot. It doesn't say in the Bible I can't smoke pot, okay? Okay? I've had people tell me these things, by the way. What? I can drink and get tipsy, and what's the problem? I'm free. I can do what I want. I'm free. I can have an abortion. Does it say in the Bible I can't have an abortion? We've had people tell us the Lord told me to get an abortion. The Lord told me to get an abortion. That's where the freedom is then a program, that you actually think you're free to get an abortion. I'm free to change my gender. I'm free. See how it kind of goes against us now? It's like, I'm free to do what I want. I'm free to get a sex change if I want. I'm free to do whatever I want. I'm free to date who I want. Not when I'm married. But you're free to... I can date... What? You can't tell me I can't date a non-Christian. What? I'm free. You know? Free. See this word? It's like so bad, right? Because when it's not in Jesus, it becomes distorted and dysfunctional and totally antichrist. So it's not freedom. Freedom is only in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Even with sex before marriage, I'm free. You know? So many people say that.
Yeah.
What can I do? You know? I'm like, don't have sex until you're married. You know? Like to be a virgin before marriage is like this, like, you know, Dave and I were, they were as well, both my kids and their spouses. And it's like, wait, what? Like, people never heard that there was virgins. You know, they're still virgins, right? That's so rare because we're free to have sex when we want. I mean, you can just kind of go around like, I'm free to do what I want. And I'm going to show you, because a lot of the things they say, it's not in the Bible. I'm like, are we really there? Like, you know, whatever it is, whatever people have said, they'll say the exact statement isn't in the Bible. Are we really doing that? You're not wanting to live a holy life, right?
The same people, when it's in the Bible, they don't obey that either. So it's
true.
Lie.
Yeah.
It's not in the Bible. It's like you don't obey half the Bible anyway.
Yeah. They just decide that exact statement, do not abort your baby, even though do not murder is in the Bible. But they're twisting it. No, it doesn't say abortion, though. Okay. It could be with language, you know, the way we're speaking. I'm telling you, there's so much. What it's done is, that's where that false grace message has come in. That I am, listen, I'm going to heaven. And I'm free to live the way I want to live. Because I'm going to heaven. That is a lie. That is a big, fat lie.
Yeah.
And I believe it comes from the culture that you're free. So you son, or you walk down the aisle. I just became a Christian. Now I'm going to go live how I want because I'm free. No, you're free in Jesus, and you're free to be holy now. Now we can be holy. Now we can, you know, do all those things. The opposite of what I just said. Yeah. So you're free. We're free in Jesus only. The freedom does not come from the government. It does not. Doesn't that seem strange to say that? Our freedom is not given from our government. The only freedom we have is through Jesus Christ. That's the only freedom. I was comparing and thinking about other countries that are not free, and they know they're not free. Iran. The people of Iran know they're not free, right? There are 87 million, as opposed to, let's say, California. California's 40 million. There are 87 million Iranians, okay? Population of Iran right now. Do you know? So they know they're not free. So you know what they want? They want freedom. So you know what they're looking for? They're looking for freedom. And you know the only place they found it? In Jesus.
Amen.
So they are longing for freedom. So in Iran, this is what we've heard. It's 87 million. There is a house church in every village in Iran. Every single village in Iran, and it might be a couple people, but there are little house churches in Iran. Now that's called, you're fighting for your freedom. That's called freedom, right? So what does the country do that doesn't have the freedom? The people want freedom so desperately. In China, I don't have the numbers, but I know in China that Christianity is widespread. Like, but it's all secretive, right? Because you had to fight for your freedom, and then you're going to do anything you can to keep that freedom. You understand? Another country is Yemen, a country we lived in for a little bit. 32 million. And they say, I thought I heard it, but I can't, but it's almost... like I just heard there was almost in every village as well in Iran, in Yemen, that there are believers meeting together. When we were living there, that wasn't the case. This is new for Yemen. 32 million, and they have no freedom either. And they know they don't have freedom. So they're desperate for freedom. It seems those that are the countries that are the tightest and have the least amount of freedom, the people want Jesus more. They're trying to find their freedom. And yes, sometimes they try in drugs and they try, you know, atheism and whatever, but they always end up back to Jesus. They always end up to Jesus after. That's true freedom. So I was just thinking, it's interesting when you think you are free, then you don't choose Jesus. But when you know you're not free, you go after Jesus, the only true freedom. And it's also high risk, right? High risk to be a Christian. In those countries. And although it's underground and they try to keep it secret, it's high risk. This week I got connected with a Kuwaiti that had written into a program, and then they vet her before they give her to me, before I give it to her to somebody on the ground in Kuwait. Like, we had to do that much vetting because it's life or death situation. So I talked to her for 4 hours this week. It was incredible. But all, you know, and it's like been a, I don't know. I think she first said she looked at a picture of Jesus when he was five. Oh, when she was five, and she said, "I felt like I had to know him." Wow. Just a picture of Jesus. And then at like I think at 18, she saw the Passion of the Christ, and at that point, she was like, "I have to know him. I have to know him." And then she said, "I just felt this drawing. He kept drawing me to himself and drawing me to himself." This is no one sharing with her. This is no one yet. And she just said, then she actually encountered him in her classroom in high school, that he just filled her with his love, she said. And so there's this longing, but she was so afraid. She kept telling me, like, this is so dangerous. This is so dangerous, what I'm doing. This is so dangerous. And I said, listen, you don't have to tell your family or your parents yet. You just let the Lord show you, because you're in a very difficult circumstance, you know. But just to see that, that push-pull, you know, just like, so she went away for a while, you know, to like, she was trying to be an atheist for a while, and she's like, then I tried to be a Muslim again, and then, but I just felt this Jesus just pulling me in, you know? And now she's like fully in, and like now I'm fully with Jesus, like I'm not doing the back and forth, but you see how much she had to fight for that freedom, because she didn't feel the freedom in Islam, she didn't feel it when she was an atheist, you know, and so it's just so beautiful. Okay, do I just do this day visit? Are you doing it? Sorry.
Second Peter.
Okay, this looks like a lot, and I love the Amplified, and I was thinking, should I not do the Amplified? But I love everything in the parentheses, and it expresses it in such a deeper way, it gives understanding. my goodness, my voice. So you're going to see how I'm going to tie this in. So this is the way that we will live free. And this is the way that we will never fall. I remember when we first became charismatic, and I thought, you know, we're saying miracles, and we're experiencing the presence of God. I'm thinking, I bet charismatic, no one falls away who's a charismatic. You know, this is what I'm thinking. There's no way. You know, once you accept, you're like, I can't believe I'm experiencing him. I'm having dreams. I'm experiencing his love. I'm seeing people healed. Like, you're thinking, there's no way I could ever. And then you hear about people that did, like, that had a lot of miracles and everything, and they fell away. I remember asking one woman, how do I not fall away, right? And so this, and she told me some things about humility and all that, which is awesome, but this is actually the key, and in it, Peter talks about, this is the key to never falling away. It's awesome. Also, and in it, this says it. But this is, right, it says it in one verse. I forgot. We're going to read it. But Peter says, Jesus has showed me that my death is imminent. When he's writing this. So, what would you write somebody when you know you're about to die? You're going to be martyred. So, this is so powerful. So I know we could read it and it could seem like legalism, but it's not. It's like, this is the key to life that he keeps. And he's saying, I know you know this, but I want to remind you, I know you know this. So guess what? I know you guys know this. But if Peter is saying that to the disciples and the people that are around him, and he's about to die a martyr's death, he's going to be crucified upside down, right? He's the one that was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified like Jesus. He's like, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Savior. I mean, whew, I can feel it right now. So I'm just going to read it and then discuss different parts of it. So Simon, oh, I can read it from here, sorry. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle, which is a special messenger, a personal chosen representative of Jesus Christ, to those who have received and possess by God's will a precious faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the beginning, but I like to read it all. The greeting and all that. Grace and peace. Listen to what this is. That special sense of spiritual well-being. Be multiplied. I'm going to say that to you. Multiplied to you in the true intimate knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Of course, this is the boom verse right here. For his divine, okay, just take this slowly. For his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness. Wait, what?
No.
Wait, what? Right there, right? Okay, guys, listen to this. Do you have a dynamic spiritual life, right? If not, back it up. For his divine power, which guess what is? Holy Spirit lives in you. Can you guys say, the Holy Spirit lives in me? Right? This is the Holy Spirit. Talking about that. Divine power has bestowed on us, given us absolutely everything. Everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness. Do you know what godliness means? Like God. So you're going to be able to live through the power of the Holy Spirit like God on earth. So if you ever think, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it, well, guess what? You can, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know there's a lot of verses, we lack nothing. Da, da, da. I mean, you just take that and just sit on this. Like, are you kidding me? I don't need to go anywhere else to get anything that I need. I don't need it. I don't need to go anywhere else other than to Jesus and the Holy Spirit living in us. Okay, so that dynamic spiritual life and godliness through, how do you get it? True and personal knowledge of Him who called you by His own glory and excellence. Okay, this does not mean intellectual knowledge. This is experiential. Like, you know Him by experience, right? You know His voice. You know His presence. You have a relationship with Him. That you have everything necessary for, in the normal version, life and godliness through this intimacy, right? Intimacy with Him. That's why we talk about having time with Him every day, right? Having that special time with Him, and then you're connected all throughout the day, but having that intimate time with Him, one-on-one, one-on-one with Him, it's the key to life. Key to a vibrant relationship with Jesus is having that one-on-one time with Him. Of course, so for by these, He has bestowed on us His precious and magnificent promises of inexpressible value. It's amazing. So that by them you may escape from, this is the immoral freedom. This is, just hit me, because I had that dream about freedom. I mean, sorry, the word about freedom. And then I got to this. I was like, oh, this is it. So that by them, by the magnificent, precious promises, you may escape from the immoral freedom that is in the world because of disreputable desire or disrespected, disrespectable, or just, you know, because it means like bad reputation. So bad desires. And so listen, so by these precious promises, you may escape from the immoral freedom, immoral freedom. Those normally you don't have those together, right? Immoral freedom, right? So that's the thing. The true freedom versus the immoral freedom. So, but guess what you get? They have that because of their disreputable desires, right? Like their bad desires, their disrespectable desires. So they have the immoral freedom, right? You see that? But what can you have on the other side? And so we escape from the immoral freedom and become sharers in the divine nature. Shares in the divine nature. Now, why people would want to choose immoral freedom over being partakers in the divine nature? I don't know why. I don't think they know.
Right.
Yeah, how would you choose immoral freedom? I guess some people do. Over, yeah, you can be free and do everything immoral you want, or you can be a sharer with God. It is divine nature. Crazy, huh? That's the freedom we have. We are now set free to be partakers in the divine nature. For this very reason, okay, so this is where we're adding things, right? This is what building, he was telling me, this is where we're building our faith. For this very reason, applying your diligence to the divine promises, making every effort in exercising your faith. Okay, so just like exercising, just like anything you want to do and you want to improve in, you're going to be building, right? You're going to be, I want to get better at this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. This is what we're supposed to do with our faith. So it's not just you become a Christian and then you just live like you want. Some of what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to give our life to Him and then go make disciples of all nations, right? But people get into the immoral freedom, and then, and it could look really like evil, or it could just look, I'm living for me. Every day's for me. I do what I want every day. It's just about me. That is not Christianity. That is not why Jesus died and was risen and rose again and then went to the planet and left the Holy Spirit so that I could then live for myself and not make a difference. That's what's been, I don't know, that's kind of what I was taught. So, make every effort to, in exercising your faith, so you have your faith, to develop then moral excellence. And so it's a building. And in moral excellence, you add knowledge. What is knowledge? It's not wisdom. It's not intellectual. It's insight and understanding. And in your knowledge, add self-control. And in your self-control, steadfast. I'm going to go after this, but steadfastness. And in your steadfastness, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly affection. And in your brotherly affection, develop Christian love. That is, learn to unselfishly seek the best for others and do the things for their benefit. I'm going to go back because I know that was a lot. But for as these, I'm going to keep going and then go back. For as these qualities are yours and are increasing in you as you grow towards spiritual maturity, listen to this, they will keep you from being useless and unproductive in regard to the true knowledge and greater understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these, that whole list, that lacks these qualities is blind, short-sighted, closing his spiritual eyes to the truth. Okay, I'm wondering. Okay, I got to go down to this one part. Anyway, I'll read it all, and then I'll go back. Having become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. So all those are building blocks, like in just a continual, that we're keeping all the different important building blocks of our faith, keeping on working on these things and developing these things. Because it says, having become oblivious to the fact that he is cleansed from his, we were cleansed from our old sins. So it's when people aren't doing that and they're living the immoral freedom life and they're not building, it's like they've forgotten what Jesus did, how he cleansed them from their old sins, that they're not supposed to be doing any of the other things. Therefore, believers, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. This is really good. Be sure that your behavior reflects and confirms your relationship with God.
Yes. Absolutely.
For by doing these things, actively developing these virtues, listen to this, boom statement, you will never stumble in your spiritual growth and will live a life that leads others away from sin. Okay. So I want to just go back. Like lots of amazing things there. Okay, so you take your faith, right? So this is what Peter's saying about his before he's about to be martyred. Right? He's urging them, this is the way that you will not fall away. You will never stumble. You will not only not stumble, but you will because you know, as we walk, like Paul says, as I walk. Wait, what does he say?
Imitate me as I imitate Christ.
There you go. Yes. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Can you guys all say that? Like if someone said, I'm going to follow you around for a week and I want to see and I'm going to imitate you. That's, you're a Christian, right? That's what. So I'm going to watch what you guys do. I'm going to see how you talk. I'm going to see, like, and if I imitate you, does that mean I'm imitating Christ?
Amen.
So the way we live will lead, if we're walking the way Jesus wants and walking away from the sin, others, we will help others, lead them away from sin.
Very
That's
true.
Cool.
Yes.
Okay, so we're adding, taking our faith. So all those things that I read earlier, like, it's my choice if I want to get an abortion, or, you know, it doesn't say I can't smoke pot in the Bible, you know, or shoot heroin. I mean, I can do what I want. I've not heard the heroin one, but I have heard that. Oh, I have heard that it's cool to take hallucinogens because you connect with God.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? Did you guys know that?
Yeah.
We're hearing that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't say in the Bible, okay? It doesn't say not to. But if you take all these building blocks, all these things, you will see there's no room for pot, There's no room for getting, you know, I'd say tipsy at all. I'm not for that. I'm not tipsy, drunk, sex, pornography. There's no room for any of this because it's going to say all of it. For this very reason, we're being diligent, right? So we're going to take our faith and we're going to develop moral excellence. So is moral excellence smoking pot?
No.
Is moral excellence abusing alcohol a little bit? No. Is moral excellence, I'm saying no, you know, all those things? No. You know, yeah, you can try to find a way, like, I'm going to try to find a way to make my sin okay. Good luck with your life.
Yep.
You know, and some of you are like, okay, we know this. Good, you can share it with others. Because I have people doing this that I talk to. They're just trying to find a way to sin. And it's like, you're in the wrong faith. Just don't even be a Christian. I'd rather not. If someone's going to be like a little slippery snake and try to sin, stop. Just don't be a Christian. Don't give Jesus a bad name by not living for him in a holy way. And again, I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm just telling you what Peter said and how however it looks. I like how, because I was talking to Dave. I'm like, okay, moral excellence, what does that mean? And then, you know, I was going to give really specifics. And he's like, I don't think you're supposed to give specifics because then it would be legalism, right? It would be, now you can't do that and you can't do that and you can't, you know. I like things very, all very in order and examples and all this. But moral excellence is just so beautiful, right? You don't have to try to be slippery around that. So we're adding, these are ways that you will never stumble. So if you work on these, if you say, that's an area that I'm not that good in, you know, or I'm not doing that well. Again, they're saying, the statistics are, 60% of pastors are addicted to porn. Is that right?
Oh, wow.
60%.
Wow.
50% of pastors are not just watching. 70% of Christian men are addicted to porn. 50% are addicted or just watch porn? Of pastors.
Regularly using porn.
You know what they get these to? So when the pastors have a conference in their hotel?
Wow.
Guess who's watching porn? The pastors staying in the hotel. So those pastors, they're in dangerous ground. Those Christian men, 70% of Christian men, they're in danger. I'm not saying, I know women watch porn too. I'm just saying, it's all very dangerous if we don't want to stumble. We don't want to fall. We don't want to lead others away from Jesus, right? Like these are very important building blocks that we need to not just emphasize one and not the other, but it's like looking at your life, like, I want to make sure I'm building into that. Lord, you show me any area that I'm weak in, any of these areas, and I want to build, or show me how to do this. So you take your faith to develop moral excellence. And in moral excellence, so you have that, you have your faith, moral excellence, and then knowledge. So insight and understanding, right? So insight and understanding, that's like taking, when you're talking to the Lord or you're taking the Word and you're asking the Holy Spirit, what does this mean? What does, you can even take that passage that we have everything we need for life and godliness, right? What does that mean, Lord? Like, do I feel like I have everything? Like, do I feel like I'm lacking? Do I act like I'm lacking? Do I live like I have everything for life and godliness? Do I live like that? So I'm saying, that's how you get understanding and insights. You talk to him. You ask him as you're reading, right? I always encourage you guys to do this. I know a lot of you do. But just as Peter said, he's going to repeat a lot. I'm going to repeat a lot. Because I wasn't taught to do that. I wasn't taught to take the Word and talk to him through it and talk to him and have a dynamic time of reading the Bible, right? Have a dynamic time. Show me this, Lord. I love this. Show me more. I got some of this over Mike Bickle. Lord, show me more. I have everything that I've been given everything for life and godliness. I have been given everything. How am I living? Do I live like that? Do I live like I have everything for life? And life is big and godliness is big. So everything I have need in life, life. And godliness, meaning walking like Jesus did on the earth. We have everything. Holy Spirit, God, living in us. That's what that knowledge is. Or it might just be you're talking about another issue. I love doing that with the Word of God, but it could be anything. You're asking for Him insights into stuff. And usually that comes with surrender. Like, if you're not surrendered, but you're not going to get insights and understanding. Because you're going to say, I own it my way, so I just want you to know, Lord, that this is the way it's going to go. I'm telling you what I want. And you're like, I wonder why I'm not hearing the Lord, or why He's not giving me insights or kind of direction. And I'm like, well, because you just told Him what you wanted, and that's what He's going to do for you. I don't know. Maybe in your life, but when I've done that, He just kind of waits. He's really loving and kind, but I'm thinking, I wonder why I'm not hearing anything. You know, like, why I'm not getting direction? Oh, okay. Because I've kind of told the Lord how it's going to be.
Wow.
That does not work. So knowledge, right? And in your knowledge, self-control. Interesting. Self-control can go in so many different ways, right? Again, you can't justify a sin when you're looking at these different aspects. So self-control, that's huge, right? That goes for eating. All the cookies, yes, yes. when I was talking to, I won't say, actually, anyway, I was talking to somebody in the last couple weeks, not here, and she had a compulsive, like, eating disorder, and she's a newer believer, so she said, she's a totally new believer, she's like, I realized that I just had to ask the Holy Spirit, help me not binge. She's like, I wasn't hungry, but I had so much pain. She had really difficult childhood. Again, no one here, so don't like looking around and wonder who it is. And don't think I'm talking about you, because it's not. I promise you, somebody in some other country. So,
it's
Muha. Oh, stop.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What did
you say?
It's
Muha. I eat that.
Oh,
yeah.
We're not going to start targeting names now.
I know, really.
Self-control can be in so many different areas, right? So self-control.
Itself.
Everything.
Itself.
Oh my gosh. So you're just adding, right? You're watching. How am I doing these different areas? Because, you know, when we started getting more in healthy eating and eating low carb and low sugar, no sugar and low carb, when we talk about it, people get really offended.
Really?
Wow. Super offended. Because no one wants to talk about weight and what they're doing, exercise and staying healthy and being self-controlled with the way they eat. Because a lot of pastors are fat. You guys ever notice that? They're really fat. Because they eat a lot, right? They go out to breakfast, they go out to lunch, they go to dinner, they probably have snacks with people and stuff like that. But then, so maybe they have all these building blocks, but they have this area of self-control that is missing. So again, it's like, you know, if we had a table here and it had, you know, eight legs, which, yeah, I guess some tables have eight legs anyway, and you have just one leg missing, it's not going to be strong and stable, right? That's what I feel like this is. I don't even know how many little things were listed here, but it's not like you can ignore one and not do the other one. Like, we have to look at it, you know, we have to look at ourselves, I'm going to go a little further with this one. Even, like, as I'm getting older, realizing, and I know Emma and I have been talking about this, about weights, like being strong older women. We're not trying to be bodybuilders. Not doing that. Not going to do that. But I want to be strong. I'm doing exercise. I'm doing cardio. And I'm doing weights. So it's this full, like, looking at the entire package. Why am I doing that? Because I want to be a strong older woman. And what do people, when they get older, what happens? They can fall. They can get, you know, injuries. Different things happen. So we want to look at everything, right? We want to be strong. Even when I saw this woman yesterday, she's 77. So my mom is going to be 75 here in a week. And my dad is 77. Now, if you saw these two women that I just saw that are younger yesterday than my mom and dad, they are shut-ins. They are shut-ins in their house. They can't go to church. But do you know how many people are like that? I don't want to be that. I want to be out, walking the streets, doing evangelism, you know, at 90, okay? Please, 120, right? I mean, I want to be doing that. I want to be leading people to the Lord. I want to have stamina. I want to be able to go out for hours and do evangelism. And then, you know, I just want to be active. Until the day I die, I want to be active. I want to be sharing the gospel. I want to be praying for the sick. I want to be preaching. I want to be bringing the kingdom, right? So all these aspects are very crucial building blocks for our faith. As Peter said, that this will make sure you do these things, that you will, what's the good statement here? You will never stumble. You will never stumble, and you will live a life that leads others away from sin. You know, when people say, like, they're trying these drugs and stuff, and or smoking pot, or partying, or, you know, but you know what's grace? It's grace. I'm just under grace, okay? You know what's happening? Then all the little people that follow them are doing the same.
Yeah.
Do you know how sad that is?
Exactly.
So we are representative of Jesus. What we do, people will do. It's not just about you, right? It's about how we're living our lives. So the self-control, okay. You guys good?
Yeah.
We're building, right? So we got faith. We got moral excellence. We have knowledge, experiential knowledge. We have self-control, steadfastness, or perseverance. This is so good. And I know we were talking about trials on Thursday night. What you shared was so powerful, Emma. The testing of our faith produces endurance. We go through trials, right? So we were talking about this. We really don't like trials, but they are key for our growth. They are essential. Now, not saying every trial is from God. No. You know, because we know sickness isn't from God. Demonic stuff's not from God, but we can grow through and we can still endure and grow in steadfastness, whether it's from the devil or it's from God. It's awesome. You know, when the devil throws something, you're like, Megan gonna make him pay for this, you know? I wanna be like jacked in the spirit, you know, like spiritual abs, right? Six pack. Because that you just messed with the wrong woman, right? So you're getting, that's what I think of. I'm like, this one's hard, yeah, but guess what? Come on, bodybuilder in the spirit. So,
You're going
to get a six pack? Yes, in the spirit. So steadfastness, right? So we're adding steadfastness. So I know some people are in, you know, there's always trials in our life, but some are seasons of big ones. And you're like, I like when this one goes away. Or, you know, there's all kinds of seasons, but in each one, you're growing in steadfastness. You know, another leg to the table, right, that's being strengthened.
Yes.
Whenever. And that's what's the good news. But again, we were talking about this on Thursday. It's like Emma and I, you know, we have the same thing. Like we used to think, just get me over this trial. I just want the smooth sail. Just get me through the smooth water. I just don't want any trials. I can't wait till I have that 5 minutes of no trial. And then it was like, wait a minute. I don't think that can happen. It might be, but then somebody you know you're close to is going through a trial. So it's just not, like you said, I thought it was the best statement. She said, I realized that God's like number one, like God's not fully interested in my comfort. Like it's not all about today I'm going to find every way to make sure Emma's completely comfortable in this life. You know what I mean? That's kind of cool. That's kind of interesting, right? I was like, oh, that's a big bone one. That's a big statement there. Like, he's interested in our development. And if we're comfortable, usually means we're not growing, right? When you're really comfortable, are you like, I'm pressing in. I'm going for the moral excellence. I'm steadfast. I'm going for you, Jesus. No, you're just kind of like sitting in the lazy river, chilling, right? Not growing. So it's good news. It's good news. Okay, and then you're adding to that godliness, being like Jesus. If you want to know how to be like Jesus, read the Gospels. Very exciting. And then to godliness, brotherly affection. I really like that one. And then brotherly affection, love. that love that, that Jesus said, love others as I have loved you. So for as these qualities are yours and are increasing, that's awesome, in you, and you grow towards spiritual maturity, like, listen, guys, to this statement. They will keep you, not only from falling away, but keep you from being useless and unproductive in regard to the true knowledge and greater understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does anybody have the ESV? You could read that verse in ESV real quick.
Anybody? Peter 1a.
Yeah. Anybody can look that up for me? 2 Peter 1:8. Just one, no, 1:8. Verse 8, sorry. That's cool. You know, people are always saying, like, what? I want to be fruitful. I want to be productive, you know? I want to be effective, right? And you're looking at these building blocks of our faith that Peter's saying. This is what he's saying, guys, before he's going to die. You know, again, you think this is the most crucial message in his mind. He's like, you guys, you will never fall away, and you will be productive and effective in the Christian faith if you can keep these in mind, and these qualities, and ever increasing and growing in these virtues. For whoever, verse 9, for whoever lacks these qualities is blind, short-sighted, closing his spiritual eyes to the truth, having become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. So, again, those Christians that walk down an aisle, or they made a profession of faith, but they're living with none of these virtues. But they really think it's okay. And some people preach it. Some famous pastors preach it. It's not in the Bible. Therefore, believers, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. He's chosen all of us, so that's not that about choosing you. But be sure that your behavior reflects and confirms your relationship with God. I like that. Be sure that your behavior reflects and confirms your relationship with God. Yeah. What does that mean to you, Aubrey, when you read that?
If someone were to, like, look at your life, would they say, wow, they're different, they seem like Jesus? Or would they just think you're like everyone else?
Right.
Or would they find areas of your life like, oh, I thought Christians didn't do that, but you do that. Like, I hear that a lot. I feel like on social media especially, like, there's a lot of atheists that are like, well, it says in the Bible, don't get drunk. Why are all the Christians getting drunk?
Whoa.
Or it says in the Bible, like, don't have sex till marriage. Why are all the Christians doing that? And it, like, makes your faith ineffective. Like, it
right.
just shows, like, you're kind of useless.
Yeah.
Like they said, useless and ineffective.
Yeah.
Because you're not seen by others. Like, I don't think anyone would look at, obviously, Jesus and be like, huh, doesn't look like he's following the law.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we don't follow the law anymore, but
right.
in a way, we have these, the new command, which is love God and love your neighbor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's, if you're have tendencies in your life that look worldly.
Right.
It's a little concerning. Like God can always provide, like you say, his spirit is like the thing that overcomes that in our life and
right.
continuing to go through these virtues and stuff. But
That's good. Thank you. So for by doing these things, so this is it, actively developing these virtues. So it's not a sit back faith and just, let me just coast and see how it works out. It's an active, we're actively developing these virtues. Just like in a marriage. If I just told Dave, I'd like to have some boyfriends. You know? I mean, I already, what? We're we're married. I signed the certificate. I'm married. Okay? Just, okay, forget. I'm married. Right? We're married to Jesus, right? Do I have to spend time with you? I mean, I already wrote on the certificate I'm married. Do I need to sit down and get to know you? I'm married. It's done. You know?
Yeah. True.
Love that.
Do I have to live in the same house? I mean, I already signed it. I already said I was married. Can you see how ridiculous that would be?
Maybe
we're married.
My boyfriend, not you.
You know, we're married to Jesus. And people are like negotiating. Or you could say about, you know, your work, your job, like, I signed the contract. Wait, I say 8:30. You said 8? I say 8:30. I already have the job. I'm not doing that. You want me to be nice to the kids? I'm a teacher. No, I signed it. I have the job, okay? I'm not being nice to the kids, right? I mean, you just take anything and it's ridiculous. But when you apply it to your faith, if you tell people, you're going to need to do this, legalism.
Right.
Making it so difficult. I already went up. I said I'm Christian, okay? My name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm done, right?
Wow.
Now I'm just going to live like I want.
Wow.
Stop telling me what to do, okay? Stop it, right? I mean, you've heard people, stop telling me what to do.
Yeah, wow.
I can do what I want. Go to heaven. But if you think about that, it's just really, like, you just kind of unravel your perspectives.
Yeah, good.
Thank you. So, by doing these things, you will never stumble. I'm sorry, I love that. I love that. You will never stumble in your spiritual growth, and you will live a life that leads others away from sin. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly provided to you. And again, it's not heavy. It's not, oh man, I can't believe she talked about all those things I don't want to do. Or you know, but it's like light, right? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You've given everything. So he's giving you the power to do these things. He's given you the power. And you're feeling like I said, if there's an area like, I'm not really, I need to focus in on that one. Holy Spirit. This, you know, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, the Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, lives in you. What can't you do? What can't you do with the Holy Spirit, the power that raised Jesus from the dead? Would anyone like to tell me what they can't do with the Holy Spirit? Do you have any, some people, do you have an, what can't you do? Nothing. That's right, Em.
Good job, Em.
Great answer. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them. I love that. And are established in the truth, which is held firmly in your grasp. But these people seem like, that he's sending this letter to, really strong. But again, he's about to die, right? And he's just like, don't forget these truths. Don't forget these truths. And can you imagine? He's been raising them up and discipling him. And then he's like, stay with Jesus. Stay with Jesus. You know, you won't stumble. You won't fall if you keep your eyes on these things, right? And of course, it's love, right? As well, love. Like, love was one of them. So it's not like you're going to be this, I am so morally excellent. I am steadfast. No, it's the love. Love and brotherly affection as well. I think it is right, as long as I am in this earthly tent, to inspire you by reminding you, knowing that the laying aside of this earthly tent of mine is imminent. This is where he said it. It's very emotional. As our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me.
Wow.
I also thought it was really cool. If you're going to die a martyr, that Jesus told him.
Wow.
Jesus showed him he was going to die.
Wow.
And he wasn't sick, so he knew my martyrdom is soon.
Wow.
Powerful when you think of that, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
The last thing he writes. Peter, remember we also talked about the transformation from the coward, I forgot what that talk was called, but. There you go. That's it. Extraordinary boldness, where he was a completely unrecognizable person from before Pentecost to after. And here we have him. Like, he is ready for martyrdom. He is ready for martyrdom. He could have said, oh, guess what? I know I'm getting martyred, so I'm going to go to Syria. I'm going to move. No, he stayed. So he said, moreover, I will diligently endeavor to see to it that even after my departure, you will be able at all times to call these things to mind. Amazing. Okay, just a few more things, okay? Now I'm going to the ESV. Okay. So what he's doing is, there's a lot of false teachers, which is very interesting. If you go back and read it, it's only three chapters in 2 Peter, but you just see, like, he's realizing that, or there's so many false teachers and false prophets, and they're not like the false prophets that are, you know, of another religion. They're coming in and they're twisting the doctrine, right, and trying to infiltrate Christianity.
Right.
So he's establishing them in chapter 1, and then chapter 2, he's warning them of what's coming. And when I was reading, I was like, it seems like today,
yes,
you know, what he's talking about. So I guess at that time, they were, you know, there were some teachers or prophets that were coming in and saying, you know, Jesus really wasn't God. Because you see here, he says, like, he's defending himself, right? For we did not follow cleverly devised myths. So what were they saying after Jesus rose from the dead? What were those soldiers paid? They were paid off to say that even though they saw Jesus rise from the dead, those soldiers that were at his grave, they were paid off to say that he didn't raise from the dead, that they, the disciples, stole him. They were paid off.
That does sound like today.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
So this is what he's warning them. Like, you know, he's saying, wait, we did not follow the cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty.
Wow.
So he's telling that. And then he talks about when, again, I'm not going to read it all, when he was at his baptism, or no, when they were on the mountain of transfiguration, and he heard God say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So he's like, I was there.
Wow.
This is not a myth. He is God. Right? So that there, so you can tell he's probably kind of nervous because, like, I'm about to die. I know my people are strong, but these people are coming in. They're saying that Jesus didn't really die, that was a myth. He wasn't really the Messiah. Can you imagine? He's seeing these people around. He's like, I got to fortify my believers. I got to fortify my church.
Right.
Okay. Next slide. Oh. Okay. I guess I didn't write it down in mine. Yeah. Okay, that one. Knowing that, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. So I think that was going on, but we're seeing that, right? Like I just said, it doesn't say I can't have an abortion in the Bible, you know? I've heard that twice in the last 2 weeks.
Terrible. Wow.
But not directly to me, but two people told me. Some of my friends are doing liver ministry. Some person told her, I got an abortion because the Lord told me to.
Horrible.
And then I heard somebody else say the same thing. I'm like, what? Or any other sins, right? You know, you're just like, that they're taking Scripture and twisting it. So knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture come from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Yes. Okay. Sorry, I have to do this too because I didn't have that, so I'm doing like this. Okay. All right, so this is the last bit. Okay. 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2, 14 and 19. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, right? False doctrines. Even denying the master who bought them, Jesus, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will fall. So this is just being aware, right, of what's going on. So just stand firm and don't give in to these things. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. See, that's why before he's trying to Let's just get everybody steady and rooted and grounded in truth. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed and accursed children. So, just as a lot of crazy stuff's going on, right? In churches saying that, you know, a man can marry a man. We're just all inclusive. We're so loving. We're so accepting. That's twisting it all, right? So we're seeing that a lot, right? It's really, really disturbing. But it's right here. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed. And then 15, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved, oh, that's gross, who loved gain from wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Isn't that amazing that this was 2,000 years ago? It sounds like I'm reading what's going on right now. So this is the guy, Balaam. He was the one that the donkey rebuked him. If you haven't read that story, it's crazy. Okay, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. Because God told Balaam to go and do something, not do something, and he decided he wanted to do it. So then the donkey literally rebukes him.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's when you know, whoa, I'm really disobeying the Lord. When he has an animal speak to you with a human voice.
Sure how that one teacher didn't know that.
Oh. No, because it's using that word.
You don't have to share the name of the person.
You share it.
So anyway, this guy had heard, you know, because it says in the King James, it says that Balaam's ass spoke, right? You know, it's like, right? So this guy was uneducated, Bible teacher, and he'd heard that Balaam's donkey spoke, so then he just conflated the two, and he said, and God spoke to the prophet out of the donkey's behind. And I'm just like, no! He didn't realize that the Old English ass meant donkey. So he said that God spoke out of a donkey's butt. It serves you well to learn English well. Anyway, continue your sermon, honey.
Thanks, Dave.
Well-known Bible teacher.
Yeah, anyway, you're making it too. Wow. Now everybody wants to know. These are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. You know, you kind of like redemption of the Lord or the vindication. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice the sent. Just kind of so much about now. By this is ESV too, all these words. They entice by sensual pleasures of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. Yeah. They promise them freedom, guys, they're right there, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. Wow. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved.
Wow.
Right? So they promise freedom. There you go, the immoral freedom.
Yeah. Immoral freedom is slavery.
Yeah.
Boom.
That's what
I didn't even put that together. I know.
Right,
that's amazing. So there is no freedom. So they're using that word freedom, but it's not. It's slavery. But they're trying. They're promising freedom, right? Isn't that what they're doing? Promising freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. Yes. So I feel like this is about spiritual alignment. That there's no room. So even if somebody comes to you and says these things, all kinds of stuff, you have a chapter for it. You know, you have a chapter. Whatever it is. People also say, and I'm not using you, Dad, as an example because other people have told me, but people also say, I can cuss, it's not in the Bible.
Wow.
Like, why, you know, why can I not say these words? Well, if you want to live like Jesus, godliness, Jesus didn't cuss. So again, it's like all these things you take and you're like, okay, you show me, you take all these virtues, woo! You take all these virtues and you tell me where you're going to fit your sin into there. You tell me where there's room for compromise, right? So that's what Jesus, I don't know why, but I felt really, that Jesus wants us to just kind of tighten up, you know. Yeah, just tighten up, get ready. I just feel like it was a get ready, but we need to be really rooted in these things, really certain and sure. And when people come, like some of you are newer to the group, some of you are newer believers, and so just that people don't come in and try to do that, you know, try to trick you or tell you that this is right. Don't worry. You're free to do that. You're free, okay? You're free. So where is the only, where can we only find true freedom?
Jesus.
Yes. Yeah. Right answer, Mom. You're welcome. So then you're free to not compromise, and you're free, wrapping it up right now, to become sharers of the divine nature. So it's not that it's a bunch of rules, but it's an invitation to true freedom. When you think of Jesus, he was true freedom, right? He was connected to God always. So we will be sharers. We are free to become sharers of the divine nature.